from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lee, I can remember having a conversation with you sitting in this chair back in August, and we had actually had this conversation a couple times, and September 2020, when very strange proclamations began to come out from the Washington Post, Twitter, Facebook, all of them saying the same thing. And again, started in August and September. We're in August again in the election cycle. And it went something like this from the Washington Post. Don't look now, but there might be some moments of confusion on election night, around election night, as to who is actually won. It might be confusing, but don't worry about it, because we're going to know for sure. And once we find out, you won't be allowed to question it. That's an extraordinary detail, amount of detail for what's going to happen in an election in November, in August. And that was followed by some very other strange events that were extremely unsettling to me at the time I brought them up, when you and I talked about them. That was followed by Facebook coming out with this really weird statement saying, hey, yeah, it's going to be really hard to tell who won the election, so we're going to censor you if you have questions. In fact, we're so afraid of you publishing any questions you have, we're not just going to censor your post, we're also going to censor you in Facebook messaging. So don't even try to message your Aunt Edna about how weird it looks when the big polling centers in all the swing states almost simultaneously shut down with Donald Trump ahead and reopen with Biden ahead. So we might see a thing like that, and that would be weird, but don't question it. We just want you to know it's all very normal, but if you do question it, we'll censor you. And they said that. They said that in August and September. And it was a shocking level of detail. How could you know it would be that close? How could you know we might be confused as to who won? Why might we be confused? What? How would you know this? Axios did an entire interview about it and how this was going to cause a crisis, because people would think they saw Donald Trump win, remember? But they weren't actually, and they were very specific about it, they weren't actually going to see Trump win. See, because a bunch of, we still have to count the absentee ballots. And, you know, you will think Trump won, but then he won't win. And we could have a crisis. How do you know that in August? Well, Lee, we're back to them knowing things in August in a shocking amount of detail. And I would say an alarming amount of detail. Because last week, the FBI and an agency called CISA, which was actually started by Donald Trump, they're supposed to handle hacking, prevent hacking. They're warning, in a bizarre amount of detail, okay, of an online attack on election infrastructure that is coming. Some might say scheduled, but coming during the election. According to the PSA that the FBI just put out, and expect to hear a lot more about this, this attack could, quote, hinder access to election information, but would not impact the security or integrity of election processes. Again, how on earth would they know that in August, in that level of detail? And what, it all comes back online in Kamala One? Is that how this ends? Because I've seen this movie before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and there was some other details too, like all of a sudden in the night, it was either a couple of these big polling, election centers, all of them blue in Democrat-run areas, either had leaks and had to shut down, or they just shut down, or they just kicked all the Republican poll watchers out and weirdly put cardboard up.
Yeah.
That was weird. In the windows, physically, forcibly ejected using law enforcement, the Republicans, but not the Democrats, all while Trump was ahead. And then when they opened back up, and it was weird how it was only swing states, too. It's very strange. Anyway, when they opened back up, Joe Biden was winning. And it was weird. Anyway, longtime listeners to this show, to the Tara Show, remember again, August and September 2020, Facebook, Twitter, Washington Post first began bizarrely warning us it might be hard to tell who won. In fact, it might even look like Trump won, but let us assure you he did not. And that we would not be allowed to question the integrity of the process or the results even a little bit. For an election that hadn't even happened yet. And then we would later learn, remember, the Department of Homeland Security had actually awarded a grant to create an algorithm. This was in June of 2020. Remember this?
Yep.
An algorithm that could be unleashed on social media that would detect and suppress posts questioning the election, specifically questioning the election around absentee ballots, quote unquote. Now, how they would know that they would need a censorship algorithm specifically for questions around absentee ballots in June when the election is not held till November is a mystery. Yeah.
Because you can't question an election like that the U.S. government is doing about Venezuela right now.
No, you cannot do that. No, not here. Not at all. So anyway, we're back in that really weird window, and this is a really weird announcement from the FBI. Here's the exact word from their public service announcement. And I'm going to read for it. It's just weird how it's written. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, that's CISA, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation jointly released, this is the headline, just so you know, I'm not kidding, just so you know, DDoS attacks could hinder access to election information, would not prevent voting. That's the headline of the thing, just so you know. This public service announcement is to raise awareness. This is the actual wording. This public service announcement is to raise awareness that distributed denial of service or DDoS attacks on election infrastructure or adjacent infrastructure that supports election operations could hinder public access to election information, but would not impact the security or integrity of the election process. Okay, what's interesting to me about this announcement, there's so many interesting things to me besides how do you know this in this level of detail? That is bizarre. This attack hasn't even happened yet. If you know this, what are you doing to stop it? They don't say.
No.
With Election Day less than 100 days away, they write, it is important to help put into context some of the incidents the American public may see during the election cycle. That, while potentially causing some minor disruptions, will not fundamentally impact the security or integrity of the Democrat process. How in the heck do you know that? Yes, we're putting out a press release about the meaning of an attack that has not happened yet. We're putting out a press release about the boundaries and effects of a digital attack on election infrastructure that has not happened yet. This is some bizarre stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if they have that information, why are people not arrested and charged?
Well, the one thing they don't say is who's going to be responsible for that attack. I actually thought about running a poll under over. Is it going to blame Iran? They're going to blame Russia? They're going to blame China? Or maybe right-wing terrorists?
Oh, of course, because it's got to be a white supremacist wearing a MAGA hat. So
yeah, it's got to be that. Watch out for this, folks. This feels a lot like 2020. Again, this is the same FBI. You know I've been all over this. Yeah. Every single quarter, they announce the whole system's going down. And these announcements have gotten more and more extreme as the years have passed. And they've said there's going to be an attack. It's going to be on internet infrastructure. The latest ones are more hysterical. It could affect food delivery, water, like all of that, like societal collapse stuff. And every time it drives me nuts.
And spam stock goes up.
Well, I know, really. But every time it happens, it drives me nuts. I'm like, okay, y'all have been telling us this since Biden took office. You want us to know it's all going down in some sort of catastrophic internet attack. Yeah. Cool, fine. What are you doing about it?
Right.
There's never that. If I was in Congress, that would be, okay, you've been telling us this for almost 4 years. Fine, guys, as if it's fact. When's it coming, since you seem to know? And number two, what have you done? You've had years to stop this. There doesn't ever seem to be any of that. So anyway, they just want you to know there's going to be a digital attack during the elections. It's going to look weird for a while, but don't worry. The attack won't affect the integrity of the election, even though you may not be able to see what's going on.
Yeah. The only effect will be anything that has anything to do with who may criticize what the scheduled narrative of the outcome is.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I saw this and I went, really, guys? See, this worked last time because they had censorship ability across Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Mm-hmm. They do not have that this time.
Yet.
Yeah, good point. Yet. Yep, good point. So, I mean, if we had actually been allowed to do real coverage of the absentee ballot situation, particularly in Georgia, but it was bad everywhere.
And if you even mention that, you are an election denier.
I know.
That's the accusation every single time by anyone who brings that up, even though the left does it all the time. Just ask Stacey Abrams.
Who did literally the same thing and was taken very seriously.
Who claimed to be the elected governor of Georgia.
So, I don't know how they're going to do this if there's actual honest coverage allowed on X this time.
Yeah.
Because this was trending over the weekend. So people are on top of them. They know what's going on. I just think it's going to be harder this time. But I went, really, you're going to try? Okay, they're going to try it. Try what? I don't know. We'll see. They're telling us. Look, I didn't bring this up. They did.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Exactly. And that's a very good point. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is a headline or a release from a federal agency.
That's freaking people out because, again, how on earth would you know that?
I mean, that's like saying, okay, there's going to be a listeria breakout with a certain amount of food source. It hasn't happened yet, but after it happens, you're not going to be allowed to talk about the people that were treated for it or what the doctors did to treat those people who were suffering from it or the number of people that were involved.
Yes, and it will only impact romaine lettuce,
yes,
you understand.
Exactly, yes. Okay. Not iceberg.
Not iceberg. No,
yes.
Not iceberg.
But
and
romaine.
Certainly not any non-organic spinach products, but maybe organic spinach product, yes. You'd be like, how do you know that?
Yeah.
And if you know there's going to be a listeria outbreak, then good God, and you know where it's going to be, you know, what it's going to be on, then go to the factory.
Yeah.
Well, no, we're just going to tell you about it.
Just break out the broccoli and asparagus.
Right. And you'll be fine.
Yes.
Why don't you prevent the outbreak?
Right,
we're not going to do that. I mean, if you know about it in this level of detail, why can't you protect us?
Yeah.
Can you explain that? Nope. Nobody interested.
And if you can't, then why are we spending the trillions of dollars on federal government agencies to do so over the years?
Yeah, really. When, you know, we could just send it to the Taliban.
Yes. Well, that's not happening.
Yeah, we're going to dive back into that coming up in just a minute.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Absolutely shocking revelations from the Secret Service over the weekend. I don't even know where to begin with this. Ronald Rowe has not even been head of the Secret Service for 2 weeks. He's already perjured himself before Congress in ways that cause a lot of questions. He told two lies over the weekend. Or last week, I guess, that we really began to know about and understand over the weekend. The first one was pretty serious. That Trump had always been granted what was requested for his rallies. Not only was that not true, but Ron Rowe himself cut the advance teams. There are advance teams of Secret Service that will go scout an area before the event starts, and then they stay, they'll surveil it, and then they stay throughout the event. Or there used to be. He pulled them for the Butler rally. Lied to Congress and said nothing had been pulled. Everything was just fine. No problem. So this is the first of two lies he told Congress. Here we go.
The acting director of the Secret Service told Congress under oath that his agency didn't cut resources from Trump's detail.
If you're talking about Butler, Pennsylvania, all assets requested were approved.
That's a lie, period. And lying to Congress is a felony. A Secret Service whistleblower is telling Senator Hawley that that guy personally directed that Secret Service agents who do threat assessments at events be cut. The whistleblower says those agents should have been at Trump's Butler rally doing threat assessments, and they were cut by that Secret Service director, Ronald Rowe.
If those agents— The same whistleblower said that the first time he was spotted with the rangefinder going through the metal detector, he would have been arrested. There would have been nobody dead, nobody shot, nobody injured, including Trump. But they were pulled. Weird, right? Then we get to lie number two. This one, to me, is the most shocking. That, look, we just called locals and we asked them to fill it if we didn't have enough personnel.
If you're talking about the media reporting of assets requested, there were times when assets were unavailable and not able to be filled, and those gaps were staffed with state and local law enforcement tactical assets.
You hear his voice. He's lying, and he knows it. That's why he sounds nervous. So you're telling me then you told the locals that they were in charge, right, of the best shooting perch from which to assassinate the president, you know, the one you drew outside the perimeter so you wouldn't be responsible for it? I mean, you called the locals before, right, and, like, told them that they were responsible for it. Yeah, he said. That's what he just told Congress under oath. It's a lie. Wait, what? Here's the commander of the tactical teams for Butler County.
Secret Service has never talked to any of our people either before the rally that day or to this moment.
Okay, so that means nobody was ever assigned. Nobody was ever told locals to cover any of this. They never even talked. Which has huge implications. There's supposed to be two parallel investigations going right now. One the FBI and the other one the Secret Service, right? And as of last week, the Secret Service, not investigators trying to find out what happened, or the advanced people, nobody has ever called the locals?
The Secret Service hasn't even called the locals who were providing backup that day.
Secret Service has never talked to any of our people either before the rally that day or to this moment, has ever talked to us in regards to what our actions were that day. Secret Service has not talked to us at all about the incident.
You've not talked directly to the Secret Service, then Director Cheadle, Acting Director Ronald Rowe, they've not reached out to you, neither one of them.
None of them.
They're doing an investigation into an attempted assassination, and the Secret Service hasn't even called the locals. Not even out of curiosity, like, what the hell happened, guys? That's evidence of a cover-up.
Why? Because you don't want it on the record. You get on the record what happened, then it could be subpoenaed by Congress, FOIA, no. So what do? You just don't investigate, because you already know what happened. You knew that Trump had a fatwa on his head. You knew if you left him alone long enough, somebody'd try to kill him, if not the Iranians, somebody else. And you deliberately unsecured and insecured his rallies. But to what extent did they unsecure and insecure the rallies? Shocking admission made by the acting head of the Secret Service, who was operationally responsible at the time. Trump hasn't had a sniper team in 2 years, a counter sniper team. They haven't assigned one. In fact, a counter sniper team, Secret Service counter sniper team, was not assigned, weirdly, until when? The Butler rally, the very rally when he would undergo an assassination attempt? Yeah. This is shocking. Take a listen.
The Secret Service held its first press conference since Donald Trump was nearly executed on live TV. After stonewalling the media and congressional investigators for 3 weeks, Director Ronald Rowe made a shocking admission. Watch.
Can you confirm that this was the first 2024 campaign event that counter-sniper teams were assigned to the former president?
It was the first time Secret Service counter-snipers were deployed to support the former president's detail.
The former president of the United States and the nominee as the Republican, the man who Democrats and the media have been labeling a clear and present danger to democracy, Hitler, and a dictator, wasn't given Secret Service counter-sniper teams at his campaign rallies for the last 2 years. That means when they put Trump on trial in Manhattan, every day when he returned from court to Trump Tower, there were no Secret Service counter-snipers. The whole world knew Trump's schedule and location for 6 weeks in a city with thousands of windows and high-rises. No Secret Service counter-snipers. That means when Trump was in the Bronx, no Secret Service counter-snipers. Anyone could have climbed onto a tree, could have gone onto a rooftop with a gun. What about when he went to the bodega in Harlem after court? He's enveloped by buildings, hundreds of windows, any one of which a rifle could have fired from. No Secret Service counter-snipers. So why all of a sudden, after 2 years of no Secret Service counter-snipers, they showed up in Butler? And that was the rally where there was an attempt on his life. After the assassination attempt, the intelligence community leaked an exclusive to their friends at CNN, saying the reason they added counter-snipers to Butler was because of an Iranian threat to Trump's life. But that doesn't make any sense, because there's been an Iranian fatwa out for Trump since he whacked Soleimani. That was over 4 years ago. And when the feds were pressed about this, they admitted there wasn't any new intelligence from Iran. What a coincidence. The Secret Service surrounding Trump's been an illusion. We believe these agents were in constant communication with each other using the latest technology.
What did I tell you? This exact thing. I told you this almost 2 weeks ago. We're going to find out this wasn't the first rally they deliberately unsecured and insecured. They've been hoping he'd be assassinated. So what did we just learn there? When did this unsecuring and insecuring of the rallies, so he effectively had no protection, start? About a year into the Biden administration. About a year into the Biden administration. Do you ever have incidents, I do, where I get so mad at myself? Forgot to put something in the freezer, went bad in the car, you know, came home from the grocery store. Forgot to make my lunch the night before. Now I'm hungry, sitting here doing the podcast. And I make mistakes. We all do. You get mad at yourself. Sometimes it's the worst kind of getting mad. But like, I can't imagine making a mistake of this caliber. You accidentally fund the Taliban? Oops. Darn. I forgot, and I funded the Taliban. How much money did you give them? How much is the damage? $1 million? $2 million? $239 million that we know of. The Taliban. Come again. Wait, remind me, who are the Taliban? Because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden actually maintained, their regime actually said this weekend that it was an accident. The $239 million in development assistance given to the Taliban since 2021 was due to the State Department's failure to properly vet award recipients. Oops. You know what's funny about that? I said they would fund the Taliban. They'd find a way to do it. I said that as soon as Joe Biden deliberately caused the collapse of Afghanistan, not through incompetence, but as a deliberate strategy. A deliberate strategy that only made sense after when you knew that the Taliban had cut a multi-trillion dollar deal with the Chinese to mine the lithium mines. And it was critical for those lithium mines to be put under Chinese control. The only way that could happen is if Afghanistan fell to the Taliban. That is why we sent generals to force the Taliban to take control of our exit process, even though they did not want to. We needed to ensure that our allies, the English and the French, did not take control of Afghanistan, because then it wouldn't have fallen into Chinese hands. That's what we did. It's treasonous, absolutely. 13 people died in the process, but nobody cares about that. Heck, Joe Biden doesn't even remember it. Joe Biden insisting no military members, no troops have died under him. See, he doesn't even remember, right? So you could see how a guy like that might accidentally make sure the Taliban stayed in power by using your tax dollars to pay them to brutalize other people.
The truth is, I'm the only president this century that doesn't have any, this decade, that doesn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world like he did.
President Trump, I want to follow up if I can.
Am I allowed to respond to him?
Well, I'm going to ask you a follow-up. You can do whatever you want.
He forgot the 13 that died because he turned Afghanistan over to China via the Taliban. But, you know, they weren't the only ones who died. Because the Taliban aren't just some bad hombres that happen to live in Afghanistan. No, they are the enemy. Our troops spent 20 years fighting and dying to fight and fighting and getting injured fighting in Afghanistan. They were the enemy. Look it up on Wikipedia. Afghan conflict. Right there, enemy. Taliban. In fact, we borrowed and printed $6 to $7 trillion to fight them and in Iraq. 2,459 American military members died in Afghanistan. And 20,769 were injured by who? Say it with me, the Taliban. Can you imagine being a parent of someone who made the ultimate sacrifice in Afghanistan, had an arm blown off, had a leg blown off, and you find out that Kamala and Joe not only orchestrated the collapse of that country so that it would fall into the hands of the Chinese, but then they accidentally funded the Taliban to keep them in power. Oops. Now watch this. Let me tell you what's going to happen next. I was the one who told you they would find a way to fund the Taliban. Why? Because the government was going to collapse. These guys in the Taliban only, you know, are only active part of the year. The rest of the year, they go back to farming and sheep herding. So they would need funding from us to stay in power. I told you that. I told you the week it collapsed. I said, this is going to sound nuts. The Taliban's unpopular now. They just killed 13 of us. But Biden will find a way to fund them. I said that. I swear to God. And here you go. You want to know what's next? I'll tell you what's next. We're going to keep accidentally funding the Taliban. And we will be shocked to find out that hundreds of millions more go to the Taliban. Shock will ensue. It's going to be the most shocking thing you've ever seen. But that's their story and they're sticking to it. An accident. But you know what's weird about this? It broke over the weekend. And I just asked this weekend, how the hell do you accidentally fund the Taliban $239 million? I don't know. But you notice they didn't commit to stopping it either. They just said, oops. Yeah, kind of like they accidentally, it's really weird, accidentally cut a get out of jail free card deal with the masterminds in 9/11. They accidentally did that too. I'll tell you all about that coming up. It was weird, all right. Out of nowhere, a really weird plea deal. A plea deal so great that it had to be kept secret, the details of it. We know there was a plea deal. We know it let the top three co-conspirators for 9/11, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the guy America considers to be responsible for it, off. For the killing of, 2,900, 3,000, who cares? Americans. No death penalty for that. Okay, when you cut a plea deal like that, and I know this is an old crime reporter, prosecutors don't do that unless they get something in exchange, right? Like, you got to give them a bigger fish. You got to agree to testify against the target. Well, they are the target. Why would you cut a plea deal with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, sparing him the death penalty, in exchange for nothing? I don't know. We were asking last week. So was Senator Josh Hawley. It stank to high heaven. It was super weird. But we were assured that Biden and Kamala were they were as outraged as we were. Why, they knew nothing of it. And it's not their fault, because they like totally have no way to reverse a thing like this and couldn't possibly have seen it coming. It ended up not being true. And we learned that because Lloyd Austin suddenly and magically, after the public uproar, reversed it like that. Who is Lloyd Austin? He was appointed. He's the head of the military. He was appointed by Joe Biden. And ultimately, who is the commander in chief? Joe Biden. So wait, the whole time the Biden administration could have said, hey, you know, let's not let the 9/11 hijackers off for, you know, killing 2,900 people with no death penalty. Like, they could have said that. Uh-huh. So they just lied. Yeah, pretty much. Here's CNN Pentagon correspondent Oren Lieberman explaining.
Had Austin or the White House wanted to stop this process and say, look, a plea deal is off the table, they could have done that at any point over the course of the past 2.5 years. You have to believe that part of that was the ferocity of the bipartisan backlash,
yeah,
and the ferocity of the backlash from the victims' families when they were notified of this and then when it was announced publicly.
So the Biden administration, whoever's running it, Kamala's supposed to be last person in the room, right? All last week she tells, hey, last person in the room. Yep, that's me. I'm a critical decision maker. Cool. Then why did you think it was a good idea to let him off? Let him out of the death penalty for in exchange for nothing? I don't know. Here's some more from CNN Pentagon correspondent Oren Lieberman about the massive lie the Biden administration told last week as they attempted to aid the 9/11 hijackers, those who put that horrific attack together, in essentially getting away with it.
The White House said yesterday they were not aware of this plea deal until it was struck. Do we know if Secretary Austin was aware of this?
What we've reported and what others have reported for more than 2.5 years is that plea deal discussions were in the works. So this shouldn't have been a surprise to the Pentagon or to anybody else that there was a process that was ongoing to try to get to a plea deal. Had Austin or the White House wanted to stop this process and say, look, a plea deal is off the table, they could have done that at any point over the course of the past 2.5 years.
Why didn't they? And if you're going to let these guys, like, we know Democrats love terrorists, right? If you're going to let these guys off, why not do it in December? Election's over. People will be outraged, but what are they going to do about it? Not a thing. But you do it now. It's like you wanted somebody to know that you left the 9/11 hijackers off. You let them get away with it. They're going to live in luxury the rest of their lives. There's not going to be a death penalty. Who would that be? Michigan. Michigan, do you go back to April? Remember April? Huge crowds in the street. Dearborn, Michigan, what are they chanting? Death to America, which is a very popular point of view among radical Islamists who Barack Obama let in, and they all now live in Dearborn. But it's also very popular with the Democrat grassroots who've been here for generations. Death to America sounds great to them. So they're all fellow travelers, right? Remember, Gretchen Whitmer was so afraid to challenge the Death to America crowd, she didn't even condemn it. She was the governor. Why? They need those votes in Michigan. What better way to assure those chanting Death to America in the streets, who are critical, they must show up in order for Democrats to win, that you are actually on their side? You take a hero of theirs, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and you let him off. And you let him see you do it before the election. And they just did not anticipate the outrage. The outrage. They didn't think Americans would care if they let him out of the death penalty. And it got so high-pitched that by Friday they had to reverse course and find a new way to win Michigan. Which, by the way, folks, Democrats must win Michigan. They don't win Michigan, they're not going to win the presidency back. So they need these voters to show up. And they figured they just let the 9/11 hijackers off and they'd make the friends happy. And wow, they got busted.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you ever have incidents, I do, where I get so mad at myself? Forgot to put something in the freezer, went bad in the car, you know, came home from the grocery store. Forgot to make my lunch the night before, now I'm hungry, sitting here doing the podcast. And I make mistakes. We all do. You get mad at yourself. Sometimes it's the worst kind of getting mad. But like, I can't imagine making a mistake of this caliber. You accidentally fund the Taliban? Oops. Darn. I forgot and I funded the Taliban. How much money did you give them? How much is the damage? $1 million? $2 million? $239 million that we know of. The Taliban. Come again. Wait, remind me. Who are the Taliban? Because Kamala Harris and Joe Biden actually maintained, their regime actually said this weekend that it was an accident. The $239 million in development assistance given to the Taliban since 2021 was due to the State Department's failure to properly vet award recipients. Oops. You know what's funny about that? I said they would fund the Taliban. They'd find a way to do it. I said that as soon as Joe Biden deliberately caused the collapse of Afghanistan, not through incompetence, but as a deliberate strategy. A deliberate strategy that only made sense after, when you knew that the Taliban had cut a multi-trillion dollar deal with the Chinese to mine the lithium mines. And it was critical for those lithium mines to be put under Chinese control. The only way that could happen is if Afghanistan fell to the Taliban. That is why we sent generals to force the Taliban to take control of our exit process, even though they did not want to. We needed to ensure that our allies, the English and the French, did not take control of Afghanistan, because then it wouldn't have fallen into Chinese hands. That's what we did. It's treasonous, absolutely. 13 people died in the process, but nobody cares about that. Heck, Joe Biden doesn't even remember it. Joe Biden insisting no military members, no troops have died under him. See, he doesn't even remember, right? So you could see how a guy like that might accidentally make sure the Taliban stayed in power by using your tax dollars to pay them to brutalize other people.
The truth is, I'm the only president this century that doesn't have any, this decade, that doesn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world like he did.
President Trump, I want to follow up if I can.
Am I allowed to respond to him?
Well, I'm going to ask you a follow up. You can do whatever you want.
He forgot the 13 that died because he turned Afghanistan over to China via the Taliban. But, you know, they weren't the only ones who died. Because the Taliban aren't just some bad hombres that happen to live in Afghanistan. No, they are the enemy. Our troops spent 20 years fighting and dying to fight and fighting and getting injured fighting in Afghanistan. They were the enemy. Look it up on Wikipedia. Afghan conflict. Right there, enemy. Taliban. In fact, we borrowed and printed $6 to $7 trillion to fight them and in Iraq. 2,459 American military members died in Afghanistan, and 20,769 were injured. By who? Say it with me. The Taliban. Can you imagine being a parent of someone who made the ultimate sacrifice in Afghanistan, had an arm blown off, had a leg blown off, and you find out that Kamala and Joe not only orchestrated the collapse of that country so that it would fall into the hands of the Chinese, but then they accidentally funded the Taliban to keep them in power. Oops. Now watch this. Let me tell you what's going to happen next. I was the one who told you they would find a way to fund the Taliban. Why? Because the government was going to collapse. These guys in the Taliban only, you know, are only active part of the year. The rest of the year, they go back to farming and sheep herding. So they would need funding from us to stay in power. I told you that. I told you the week it collapsed. I said, this is going to sound nuts. The Taliban's unpopular now. They just killed 13 of us. But Biden will find a way to fund them. I said that. I swear to God. And here you go. You want to know what's next? I'll tell you what's next. We're going to keep accidentally funding the Taliban. And we will be shocked to find out that hundreds of millions more go to the Taliban. Shock will ensue. It's going to be the most shocking thing you've ever seen. But that's their story and they're sticking to it. An accident. But you know what's weird about this? It broke over the weekend. And I just asked this weekend, how the hell do you accidentally fund the Taliban $239 million? I don't know. But you notice they didn't commit to stopping it either. They just said, oops. Yeah, kind of like they accidentally, it's really weird, accidentally cut a get out of jail free card deal with the masterminds in 9/11. They accidentally did that too. I'll tell you all about that coming up. It was weird, all right. Out of nowhere, a really weird plea deal. A plea deal so great that it had to be kept secret, the details of it. We know there was a plea deal. We know it let the top three co-conspirators for 9/11, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the guy America considers to be responsible for it, off. For the killing of, 2,900, 3,000, who cares? Americans. No death penalty for that. Okay, when you cut a plea deal like that, and I know this is an old crime reporter, prosecutors don't do that unless they get something in exchange, right? Like, you got to give them a bigger fish. You got to agree to testify against the target. Well, they are the target. Why would you cut a plea deal with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, sparing him the death penalty in exchange for nothing? I don't know. We were asking last week. So was Senator Josh Hawley. It stank to high heaven. It was super weird. But we were assured that Biden and Kamala were they were as outraged as we were. Why? They knew nothing of it. And it's not their fault, because they like totally have no way to reverse a thing like this and couldn't possibly have seen it coming. It ended up not being true. And we learned that because Lloyd Austin suddenly and magically, after the public uproar, reversed it like that. Who is Lloyd Austin? He was appointed. He's the head of the military. He was appointed by Joe Biden. And ultimately, who is the commander in chief? Joe Biden. So wait, the whole time the Biden administration could have said, hey, you know, let's not let the 9/11 hijackers off for, you know, killing 2,900 people with no death penalty. Like, they could have said that. So they just lied. Yeah, pretty much. Here's CNN Pentagon correspondent Oren Lieberman explaining.
Had Austin or the White House wanted to stop this process and say, look, a plea deal is off the table, they could have done that at any point over the course of the past 2.5 years. You have to believe that part of that was the ferocity of the bipartisan backlash, yeah, and the ferocity of the backlash from the victims' families when they were notified of this and then when it was announced publicly.
So the Biden administration, whoever's running it, Kamala's supposed to be last person in the room, right? All last week she tells, hey, last person in the room. Yep, that's me. I'm a critical decision maker. Cool. Then why did you think it was a good idea to let him off? Let him out of the death penalty for in exchange for nothing? I don't know. Here's some more from CNN Pentagon correspondent Oren Lieberman about the massive lie the Biden administration told last week as they attempted to aid the 9/11 hijackers, those who put that horrific attack together, in essentially getting away with it.
The White House said yesterday they were not aware of this plea deal until it was struck. Do we know if Secretary Austin was aware of this?
What we've reported and what others have reported for more than 2.5 years is that plea deal discussions were in the works. So this shouldn't have been a surprise to the Pentagon or to anybody else that there was a process that was ongoing to try to get to a plea deal. Had Austin or the White House wanted to stop this process and say, look, a plea deal is off the table, they could have done that at any point over the course of the past 2.5 years.
Why didn't they? And if you're going to let these guys, like, we know Democrats love terrorists, right? If you're going to let these guys off, why not do it in December? Election's over. People be outraged, but what are they going to do about it? Not a thing. But you do it now. It's like you wanted somebody to know that you left the 9/11 hijackers off. You let them get away with it. They're going to live in luxury the rest of their lives. There's not going to be a death penalty. Who would that be? Michigan. Do you go back to April? Remember April? Huge crowds in the street. Dearborn, Michigan. What are they chanting? Death to America. which is a very popular point of view among radical Islamists who Barack Obama let in, and they all now live in Dearborn. But it's also very popular with the Democrat grassroots who've been here for generations. Death to America sounds great to them. So they're all fellow travelers, right? Remember, Gretchen Whitmer was so afraid to challenge the Death to America crowd, she didn't even condemn it. She was the governor. Why? They need those votes in Michigan. What better way to assure those chanting death to America in the streets who are critical, they must show up in order for Democrats to win, that you are actually on their side. You take a hero of theirs, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and you let him off. And you let him see you do it before the election. And they just did not anticipate the outrage. They didn't think Americans would care if they let him out of the death penalty. And it got so high-pitched that by Friday they had to reverse course and find a new way to win Michigan. Which, by the way, folks, Democrats must win Michigan. They don't win Michigan, they're not going to win the presidency back. So they need these voters to show up. And they figured they just let the 9/11 hijackers off and they'd make the friends happy, and wow, they got busted. It was weird, all right. Out of nowhere, a really weird plea deal. A plea deal so great that it had to be kept secret, the details of it. We know there was a plea deal. We know it let the top three co-conspirators for 9/11, including Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the guy America considers to be responsible for it, off. For the killing of, 2,900, 3,000, who cares? Americans. No death penalty for that. Okay, when you cut a plea deal like that, I know this as an old crime reporter, prosecutors don't do that unless they get something in exchange, right? Like, you got to give them a bigger fish. You got to agree to testify against the target. Well, they are the target. Why would you cut a plea deal with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, sparing him the death penalty, in exchange for nothing? I don't know. We were asking last week. So was Senator Josh Hawley. It stank to high heaven. It was super weird. But we were assured that Biden and Kamala were they were as outraged as we were. Why? They knew nothing of it. And it's not their fault, because they, like, totally have no way to reverse a thing like this and couldn't possibly have seen it coming. It ended up not being true. And we learned that because Lloyd Austin suddenly and magically, after the public uproar, reversed it like that. Who is Lloyd Austin? He was appointed. He's the head of the military. He was appointed by Joe Biden. And ultimately, who is the commander in chief? Joe Biden. So wait, the whole time the Biden administration could have said, hey, you know, let's not let the 9/11 hijackers off for, you know, killing 2,900 people with no death penalty. Like, they could have said that. So they just lied. Yeah, pretty much. Here's CNN Pentagon correspondent Oren Lieberman explaining.
Had Austin or the White House wanted to stop this process and say, look, a plea deal is off the table, they could have done that at any point over the course of the past 2.5 years. You have to believe that part of that was the ferocity of the bipartisan backlash and the ferocity of the backlash from the victims' families when they were notified of this and then when it was announced publicly.
So the Biden administration, whoever's running it, Kamala's supposed to be last person in the room, right? All last week she tells, hey, last person in the room. Yep, that's me. I'm a critical decision maker. Cool. Then why did you think it was a good idea to let him off? Let him out of the death penalty for in exchange for nothing. I don't know. Here's some more from CNN Pentagon correspondent Oren Lieberman about the massive lie the Biden administration told last week as they attempted to aid the 9/11 hijackers, those who put that horrific attack together, in essentially getting away with it.
The White House said yesterday they were not aware of this plea deal until it was struck. Do we know if Secretary Austin was aware of this?
What we've reported and what others have reported for more than 2.5 years is that plea deal discussions were in the works. So this shouldn't have been a surprise to the Pentagon or to anybody else that there was a process that was ongoing to try to get to a plea deal. Had Austin or the White House wanted to stop this process and say, look, a plea deal is off the table, they could have done that at any point over the course of the past 2.5 years.
Why didn't they? And if you're going to let these guys, like, we know Democrats love terrorists, right? If you're going to let these guys off, why not do it in December? Election's over. People be outraged, but what are they going to do about it? Not a thing. But you do it now. It's like you wanted somebody to know that you left the 9/11 hijackers off. You let them get away with it. They're going to live in luxury the rest of their lives. There's not going to be a death penalty. Who would that be? Michigan. Do you go back to April? Remember April? Huge crowds in the street. Dearborn, Michigan. What are they chanting? Death to America, which is a very popular point of view among radical Islamists who Barack Obama let in, and they all now live in Dearborn. But it's also very popular with the Democrat grassroots who've been here for generations. Death to America sounds great to them. So they're all fellow travelers, right? Remember, Gretchen Whitmer was so afraid to challenge the Death to America crowd, she didn't even condemn it. She was the governor. Why? They need those votes in Michigan. What better way to assure those chanting death to America in the streets who are critical, they must show up in order for Democrats to win, that you are actually on their side? You take a hero of theirs, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and you let him off. And you let him see you do it before the election. And they just did not anticipate the outrage. They didn't think Americans would care if they let him out of the death penalty. And it got so high-pitched that by Friday they had to reverse course and find a new way to win Michigan. Which, by the way, folks, Democrats must win Michigan. They don't win Michigan, they're not going to win the presidency back. So they need these voters to show up. And they figured they just let the 9/11 hijackers off and they'd make the friends happy, and wow, they got busted.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.